Well, we're going to look at God's Word, so let's bow in prayer and ask God for His help. Our Father, thank You for how we can come and read Your wonderful Word. You know, Ron was reading the Bible from the Braille Bible. Thank You that we have such things as that. And we can read Your inspired truth, the eternal Word, that it will never fade, never be out of date. And even as we start a brand new year, we are so thankful to You that You have given us Your great Word. We pray that You would speak to us this morning as we consider it. Thank You for this section that we've read, and help me as I preach from it, that Your Spirit would minister through me and minister to our hearts, including my own heart as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how does your new year look? Does it look good? If you had a really tough year last year, you might be hoping that this year is going to be easier. But there are no guarantees, are there not? Who knows whether this year will be a good year or a hard year? We don't know. And then, of course, there's all these things about COVID. Oh, man, now it's the Omicron variant. And so, obviously, that impacts the way we view our life and thinking of the borders being open on the February the 5th, if that happens. Like, wow, there's a little bit of, a bit of nervousness in regards to what's going to happen. Well, welcome to 2022. But how I love to proclaim to my soul and to you as well, that our God is the Ancient of Days, as we sang. And He continues to rule and reign. He continues to be on His plan A and having everything being worked out for the great and glorious return of Jesus. And that's how we're meant to be viewing life. 2022 is another exciting year in God's calendar because God still rules and reigns. And He loves us and cares for us, His people. And I can't help but think of that great verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So it's all good for us. All good. Praise God for that. Now, you know, as I think about this year, I have been thinking about one person in our congregation where this brand new year is quite different. And I'm thinking of Stephen Sorker. And as you know, that at the moment he's in hospital being rehabilitated and after losing both his legs in a horrific accident just over a month ago. And our poor brother, wow, what a tragedy to lose both your legs in an incident. But you know, when I think of Stephen, if you've visited him, you'll know that he is positive. He's positive about being rehabilitated and hopping in a wheelchair and scooting about the place. He's positive about God, our Father, caring for him and helping him every part of the way. And he's also got this magnificent smile on his face, being Southern Sudanese, being black in colour. Boy, does his smile shine forth. What a lovely smile. But I want you to be mindful of this, that Stephen has such a positive view of 2022, all because of our Lord Jesus. And I want to remind you, some of you will know this when he shared his testimony, to remind you of how there was a time when Stephen was spiritually dead because he was away from Christ. He was in a bad state, giving himself to drunkenness and all sorts of other terrible things. And not only was he spiritually dead, and even though his dad had become a Christian and he was telling his son about Jesus, he kept pushing Jesus away, he also, unfortunately, was beaten very severely by his brother's mates, who were in a drunken stupor. And they beat him and bashed his head, and he ended up being in a coma, and they thought that he was going to die. And what happened in that terrible coma state, in a very deep coma, something extraordinary happened. It reminds me of the Christmas story when the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And what happened, I can't explain it, is it a vision? I don't know what's going on, but a part of Stephen's brain was switched on and alive, and Stephen had Jesus come to him in his comatized state and call him to himself. And this time Stephen didn't hesitate. In this vision, he came to Jesus, he gave himself to Jesus, he fell before Jesus and made Jesus his Lord and Saviour. It was so real that then suddenly he came out of the coma, completely blowing the mind of the medical staff, And the very first words on his lips were, "Where's Jesus?" He was looking for Jesus. And from that very moment in time, Stephen came alive. Physically he came alive, he came out of the coma, and spiritually he came alive. He came alive in Christ, and he came to experience the fullness of life that is found in Jesus. It's a great verse on that one. John chapter 10 is a beautiful passage. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly," or have it to the full. Jesus came to give us life. And I'm so glad that when I look at Stephen, it's not poor Stephen. I can see how full of spiritual life he is. And I praise God for that. So what a year he has, without legs. But he's got a magnificent smile, and he's got such positive view because he's alive in Christ. He's alive from the dead. And even God spared him with that horrible accident, didn't he? I'm amazed that he's alive still after all that he's been through. And the reason why I wanted to share Stephen's story is because as we continue in our new sermon series through the book of Ephesians, we read, up out of the Braille Bible, a magnificent passage where the Apostle Paul speaks about us being alive from the dead. And one of the key parts of that passage is in Ephesians 2, verse 5, where it says, verse 5, that we were dead in our transgressions, but made alive together with Christ. We are people who are alive from the dead. And this morning, we're going to explore this magnificent section. I hope you're looking forward to it. Great passage. Ephesians. I hope you've been reading through Ephesians. Get into reading it, even before we preach it. And get Ephesians into your mind, into your heart, and understand the great words that are here. So let's begin. And we're going to start off by reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Starts off pretty bleak, though. Paul does not mince any words. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, boy, he says something pretty powerful here. What's the first verse say? "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Wow, what a reminder. We were dead. He's telling the Ephesians in their former state, before they had come to know the Lord Jesus, before they came to receive Him, that they were dead. And so were we. We were dead people. We were just existing, but actually dead. And what does the Bible mean when it says that we are dead? Even though we might be breathing, you're all breathing and living, we are dead. Why is the Bible saying that? Strange word to use for people who are living. Why are they dead? They're dead in the sense of being out of relationship with God. They're dead in that they have become alienated and separated from God. From God our Creator. That's what the Bible means when it says that we're dead. And why has this come about? Not because of God, not because He has separated Himself from us and pushed us away. No, we're the ones who've moved. We're the ones who have moved away from God and pushed God away, either denying that He exists or turning our back to Him and doing our own thing. Why do I say that? It's in verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." That's what caused you to become dead. Trespasses means cutting across the face of God, doing our own thing. Sins, falling short of God's glory, going against how He has made us. This is what we've done, every one of us, the Ephesians and even us, before we came to know Jesus. We were dead. What a thing to comprehend. We were people who were dead to God. And you know, that's a pretty bad state to be in. And let's read a little bit more. I'll read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 again and down to verse 3. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." This is the word of the Lord. This is the truth. This is how we once were, the Ephesian people, as well as us, in the days that we live. And you notice what it says. this dead state we were in, not only had we committed transgressions and sins, but we were following the ways of our society, even Australian society. We're following the ways of the world. What's the ways of the world? What's the ways of current Australian society? Leave God out of it. Do your own thing. Live life. Live the dream. It's all about you, isn't it? It's all about you. That's what we get told, and that's what people are living. And we are causing ourselves to be in a dead state. Not only that, the Bible tells us that we had no idea, as we chose to live like this, that we were coming under Satan's dominion. Satan's power and influence. And that's in verse 2. Did you pick up on that? In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's the Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's ruling over this fallen world, even though God overrules him. And he's influencing people. And God is giving people the freedom to choose God or to choose Satan. And so many people are under the influence of Satan without realizing it. Do you understand that? It's pretty serious. This is how life is. So often we don't see life correctly. In this world right now, there are people either following God, following God under Jesus, or following Satan and having Satan's spirit really leading us astray, deceiving us, and causing us to be caught up in this deadness. And what about verse 3? Not only do we read in verse 2 about the world and about Satan, the other great enemy of us is ourselves. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So we have a fallen nature. We all should know this. You never have to teach a kid how to do wrong. They do it automatically. Man alive. It just happens because we have a bias to do wrong. Ever since Adam and Eve when they sinned. And we have a nature that is full of, not full, there are good parts to our nature, but there, a part of our nature has a bias to sin, to commit, it says here, commit lusts and sinful desires. And we're all capable of this, and are so often caught up with things like this, and all these things put us in a place of deadness when it comes to God. And if that's not bad enough, what about verse 3, the end of it? It says that we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now when it says that we were by nature children of wrath, wrath is another word for anger, it's not saying that we were angry. We are often angry, people are often angry these days, but it's talking about how we were subject to God's anger. We were marked as people who were worthy to suffer the anger, the settled anger and righteous judgment of our God. Because when we sin, it's not like we're just doing a little bit of naughtiness, just being a little bit human. No, we are sinning against the great God who made us and gave us life. We are sinning against Him. And there is a penalty in doing that. And that penalty is that God's wrath comes upon us. What do you think of all this so far? Gee, this is pretty depressing. First sermon of a brand new year. Man alive, what is going on? But we need to know the truth. And when you understand the truth, when you understand our predicament, when you understand all these things, the next two words in verse 4 are amazing. What are they? But God. Oh man alive. Don't you love those two words? But God. Were it not for God, we'd all be in trouble. We would all be still remaining dead. And one day facing God's wrath and facing judgment in hell and all these things. But there's two words that changes everything. But God. Don't you love it? I love it. Hope you do too. I love how in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, you see it all begin there. God has made a magnificent creation. He's made a beautiful two people, Adam and Eve, who are perfect. And the day comes when Adam and Eve, they come under Satan's influence and they turn away from God and take of the forbidden fruit and they die. They die that day. They die in their relationship with God and they will also suffer aging and die as well. But in the midst of that story, I remember in the children's Jesus storybook Bible it says something like this. If this was any other story, this would be the end. But not in this story. And why is that? But God. And God is magnificent. In the blackest chapter of all, God comes down to earth, into the Garden of Eden, and He pursues Adam and Eve not to hurt them, but to help them. He says, "Where are you?" And they come up with all sorts of excuses about what they've done. And how amazing is God when He promises to send a deliverer, a saviour for us. Praise His name, but God. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to see here. What an amazing God. And our God, as we know, didn't just pursue Adam and Eve, but He also has done awesome things for us. And we know that those awesome things that He's done for us all center around Jesus, the Son of God. What awesome things God has done for us dead people, us lost people, us people who are separated from Him. What awesome things God has done for us so that we might not remain dead, but what? Alive, that we might be alive. Let me read verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Isn't that magnificent? You won't understand the magnificence of it unless you understand the first three verses. How bad things were when we were not in Christ. But if we are in Christ, how amazing our God is. And I want to highlight to you three magnificent characteristics of our God that so often are the thing that causes us to want to worship God. What are the three great things about our God we see here in verses 4 and 5? Our God is rich in mercy. Just take that in. Do you understand the character of God? He is powerful. He is the Ancient of Days. He is eternal. He's almighty. But He wants us to understand something important. For us sinners, for us people who have rebelled against Him, He's rich in mercy. It's magnificent. There is no one like Him. No human being ever like our God. Our God is so different. He is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy towards people who have hurt Him and angered Him and upset Him and kicked against Him and turned their back to Him. What mercy? Why should God have mercy on us? I have no idea. But He is rich in mercy. And then it says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. What a love! The Bible tries to help us understand this love. It says things like this, that God's love is higher than the highest heavens. That's how great His love is. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. What a wonderful time it was on Christmas Day to celebrate the great gift of the Father, given in love. What love God has shown to us humans. I am so thankful for God's amazing love toward us and His mercy. And then look at verse 5 at the end of it. In my translation, it's in brackets. It's still in the inspired Word of God, but it says, by grace you have been saved. And there's another great, amazing thing about our God. What a gracious God. Amazing grace. Grace means God treating us as we don't deserve. Undeserved favour. It's incredible. And this is the reason why we have a wonderful hope, why we who were once dead are able to be made alive. Because of God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. What's your response to that, eh? Our God, what an awesome God. What a joy it is to worship Him and to know Him. Our God, He is so great. And I just want to highlight to you that little phrase, but God, the key thing that we need to pick up on is the fact that God has made us alive together with Christ. And I love how Paul, the Apostle Paul, emphasizes something beautiful here about how in our salvation, we have been saved from the consequences of our sins, but we have been saved to life in Christ. You understand that? The Christian faith is not just about being saved from going to hell, being saved from the consequences of our sins. The Christian life is also about being saved to something, being saved to be alive to God, alive in our relationship with Him, alive, fully, spiritually, abundantly, alive. And they're connected to Jesus. We're saved from the consequences of our sins because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that's in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace which He lavished on us. Hear the emphasis on the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that has caused us to be redeemed, to be forgiven. Praise the Lord. But the other great truth is Christ did not remain dead. He came alive. He rose from the dead. He has gone home to glory. And when we give ourselves to Jesus, when we give ourselves to Him like Stephen did, when we call on Jesus to save me, a sinner, then we change from being dead people to be alive people, and the risen Christ comes to dwell in us. We become alive. Praise the Lord. See, Christianity is not all about being saved from the stuff that's coming, but being saved to a most wonderful life, and is connected to Christ's resurrection. To Christ's resurrection. I've got to read to you from Romans chapter 8. Because I love this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'm still exploring what this verse really means in all its fullness. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. And I love that verse because that's not talking about the life that we will have when we are resurrected from the dead at the return of Christ. It's talking about our mortal bodies right now having this fullness of life because of the Spirit of Christ living in us. That's it. And friends, I feel that so many of us Christians don't understand the hugeness of this. We're just happy to think about that we've been saved from the consequences of our sins, and we haven't realised what we've been saved to. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants to highlight here. Let me read it to you again. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. Hallelujah! Amen. We have been made alive together with Christ. Because of Him living, because of His power, we are alive. And I can't think of anything better as I start a brand new year to be reminded that we are alive if we are in Christ. Isn't that exciting? You're alive. You're not dead anymore. You're alive. So live like living people. Praise God. This is how we're meant to be. Alright, so let me now just share a few things as I think about... I'm not going to go any further. There's too much. Got to do a bit by bit. But here we go. I want to share about 2022. I want God's people here at Bazo, I want us to be alive. I want to encourage you and do everything I can to help you to live this fullness of life in 2022. Because I know if you do, no matter what comes your way, even the most hardest and worst trials, if you are alive in Christ, you're going to be going well. You're going to be like Stephen. Let me remind you of Stephen. No legs, big smile, so happy that the Lord God is going to look after him. Because he's alive. And that's how we're all meant to be. Alive. But I want to say to you all that there's certain things that you need to do to maintain your aliveness. Do you know that? So here we go. First Sunday of a brand new year. Oh, I seem to do this every year. Here we go again. Three things I want to remind you of. Three things. What do you need to do? What do you need to discipline yourself in doing? You need to read the Bible. Come on. How on earth are you going to be knowing God's will? How on earth are you going to be growing in your knowledge of Him unless you're reading the Bible? So make it a discipline in your life, and a joy to read the Bible every day. You know, the Bible, 66 books of just glory, all about God's revelation of Himself and what He's done for us in Christ. Read it. Read it every day. If you don't have a Bible, come and see me. I'll give you one. Surely you've probably got 5 or 6. Read the Bible. The other thing is, pray. I want to say something about prayer. I often find Christians who say, oh yeah, I pray all the time. Yeah, and they're praying on the run. They're praying driving their car, but they've got their eyes open. That's okay. And they're, you know, like, learn to pray in quietness. Find your closet, Jesus said. Pray on your own with the Lord. That's what you should be doing. Finding time to do that. Pouring out your heart to God, being still and listening to Him. This is what we need to do to make sure that we're not half-dead Christians, but we truly are alive. And the other thing is have fellowship. You know, there's something about fellowship. I was talking to Kevin about this when we were over their place. You know, fellowship, we can have fellowship, and fellowship is such an important thing because when we meet together, guess who's with us too? The Lord! And He ministers in our midst. That's why, you know, online, people, even people listening in today, it's not the best. It's something that's been great for this time that we've been living in, but it doesn't replace fellowship where we are together and God's Spirit moves in our midst. He really does, touching us. He promises to be present with us. And that's a very special thing. And so we need to be into fellowship and being in home groups where we have fellowship and hanging out together and encouraging one another. And as you do that, you keep the fires burning. You keep yourself alive in Christ. You stop the world putting out the light and making you become a dull, half-dead Christian. Too many of them. We want to be alive. We want to be alive in Christ as we live in this new year. You know, I want to share with you from Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a beautiful picture of the person who is alive. Psalm 1, the first 4 verses. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. They don't allow the world to influence them. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Bible. And in his law he meditates day and night. Alright, what kind of person will this person be? What great metaphors. Verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. That's a mighty picture. You're like a living tree, alive, bearing fruit. The leaves are green. That's life, isn't it? There's a poor rose out there that's dying. It's a pitiful state. One of the floribunders is dying. I've been trying to water it. It's still dying. It's a horrible thing. Don't be like that. Be a flourishing plant, flowering, alive in Christ. You know what the metaphor given of the wicked is? The wicked are people who don't follow God, who don't listen to Him, don't read the Bible. Verse 4 says, the wicked are not so. They're not like that tree. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Well, that's pretty much useless stuff, isn't it? It's dead stuff. So God is saying, in this world where we live, even the people who are the, you know, flying high, got all the money, they're the heroes of the world, they have the highest status. If they don't know Jesus, God says to them, you're just chaff. Isn't that amazing? But for a Christian, even the most humblest Christian who has nothing to his name, and they're following Jesus, what does the Bible say? You're like a mighty tree. Full of life. That's how God sees it. And that's how we are to be as well. And look at the beautiful picture. You'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Isn't that beautiful? What a great picture it is of being alive in Christ. Now, I want to just finish by saying to you, when I think about being alive in Christ, all the things that we read in verse 3 are reversed. Do you know that? Let's have a look at verse 3. but in a reverse state. Ephesians 2:1-3. It says there, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Guess what happens when we're alive in Christ? We are alive in what? Good works and righteousness. How our life changes. Isn't that true? And verse 2, instead of for, as we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, what happens if we are alive in Christ is that we take a stand and we stand against this world and we stand against the schemes of the evil one. That's what it looks like to be alive in Christ. Does that capture your life? Living righteously, seeking to live righteously, seeking to do good works that please God. Do you stand against the world, even if you stand out like a sore thumb? Do you stand against the devil's schemes? That's what it looks like to be alive in Christ. And what about this third verse? It talks about giving ourselves over to the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh. If we are alive in Christ, God is doing a great work right here at home. And He's helping us to put to death the deeds of our body, our sinful nature, so that we might be set free from every sin and encumbrance, so that we can run the race marked out for us. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wow! How good it is to be alive in Christ. I want you to be alive. I want you to be standing up against the world, standing against the devil's schemes, being set free from the sins and the chains in your life. I want you to be alive in Christ. And why do I want that? For God's glory. That you might no longer be children of wrath, but children of His delight. He loves to delight in His people. And how He loves to delight in us when we are truly living for Jesus, giving ourselves to Him, and we are living for Christ, alive in Him. Because we are the people who are alive from the dead. So when I thought about what sermon I should preach this morning, I thought, well, Ephesians 2, that's where we're up to. That's a fitting sermon. Is it not? It's a fitting sermon for us. And I want to take these words into my own soul. I want to be alive. I want to, with God's help, overcome in areas of weakness in my life, to be alive, to know the Holy Spirit's power, the Spirit of Jesus, alive in me, helping me in terms of turning away from the world and not being caught up in the devil's schemes and being set free from sins, besetting sins that bring us down. And it's all possible because Jesus died and He rose again. And as it says in verse 5, we have been made alive together with Christ. So that's my prayer for you all, that we'd all be alive in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this great section of Scripture. I know for myself personally, I love these words as I take in the truth about how I once was, and still I can struggle with half-deadness in my life. I thank You so much for Jesus. I thank You for how He's alive, and by His mighty power through His Spirit, we can truly be alive fully here on earth. I pray for everyone who here is a believer, a Christian, born of Your Spirit, that we might know this in this year we live. That we might know the work of Your Spirit in our life to raise us up to be alive in Christ. To be living a life that's powerful and effective, where we might be a people who shine in the darkness and sing songs of joy in the night. That we might live a life that is full of courageous spirit, and where we have victory over sin and are being set free to live a life of holiness for Your glory. Well, this is my prayer for myself and for my brothers and sisters. And for those amongst us who aren't there yet, Lord, thank You for people being present in our midst who aren't Christians. I pray that You would help them to realize their deadness and that dissatisfaction that comes from being dead, that it's a barren life, that they might come to know You, to be alive in You through faith in Christ. Please would You bring them to Jesus. May they give themselves to Your Son and to know this fullness of life that Jesus came to give us. But we thank You that we have such a glorious hope. Jesus is alive, and we thank You that He's coming back soon as well. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.